Well, Randy mentioned it already, what we're busy with over these next several weeks. We're in the middle of a series where we're exploring together our renewed vision as a church. This renewed sense that God's been birthing within us over the last couple of years as a church, as we've been seeking for God to bring renewal, as we've been trying to pay attention to what God's doing in our congregation and in our city. And this morning, we're exploring this core value. We seek spirit empowerment. And as I begin, I just want to remind us and share a little bit of pieces that we've shared before. The ministry board, which was set up several years ago to work in partnership with the council to really steward vision for the church and do some strategic planning, has been on a journey when it comes to this issue. That journey began back in 2018 when a number of us, being inspired and nudged by Pete Westra, attended a conference in Edmonton, Alberta, part of what was called the Dunamis Projects. The name of that conference was In the Spirit's Power. And I might be jogging some memories. Some of you weren't with us in November 2018, so this is new to you. But we came back from that, I think, it's fair to say, significantly touched by what God was doing there. Impacted both by the teaching on the person and work of the Spirit, impacted by experiences that we had while there of experiencing the Spirit's power and presence in some ways, for some of us, in ways that were new to us, in ways that were transformative. And since that, those gatherings, there's been a great stirring that's been happening, a stirring for a greater intimacy with God that's possible through the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that this morning. A stirring for learning to cooperate more intentionally with the Holy Spirit in our lives and ministry, to live in greater dependency upon the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. And we've shared a bit of that journey. Last year, we did some teaching on the Holy Spirit. And what we've noticed is that stirring is starting to spread. We've sensed a growing hunger among others in our congregation to grow in this area. And we're going to be doing more teaching in the fall on what it looks like to grow the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're excited about what God's doing and looking forward to how he's going to continue to move us forward. But there's something else we heard as we began to be stirred. We also heard rumblings of a vision. I had tried to look at my notes. I couldn't find the date. Some of you will know what I'm talking about. But years ago, as I've been told, there was someone who was given a vision for our church. And it wasn't the greatest vision when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It was a vision of a congregation of people with pitchforks in hand raised to the sky. And the message was, Holy Spirit, you're not welcome here. That troubled us. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may have not heard that before. I don't know how widely that vision was shared, but I know it was shared with us as leaders. And part of what we want to do, and I just want to make very clear, is as leaders of this church, we want to publicly declare as we lay the pitchforks down and say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We lay the pitchforks down. We're sorry we ever raised them, but you're welcome here. We welcome your presence. What does that mean to welcome the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? That's an important question that we're going to be leaning into. And this morning, I wish we had more time. We won't get everywhere, but we're going to hopefully lay a foundation and a path that we want to walk in the years to come. So let me read the core value. If you want a copy of our vision document, it's available. I believe there's copies at the Info Center, also through the office. The Holy Spirit sends and empowers us for the mission that God has given to us. The Spirit goes before us. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit is the only one who can change people's hearts and transform our city, which you know is really at the heart of our vision. We will seek to grow in becoming an intentionally Holy Spirit-led community. And so we will help create a context for greater openness to the work of the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Some of us hear the words spirit empowerment, and we have a couple different reactions. Some of us don't know what that means. What does that mean, spirit empowerment? We want to explore that this morning. Some of us have had experiences in our own life or through family or friends who've been in communities who've talked that way. And there might be something anxious inside of us saying, I hope it doesn't mean those things that I experienced. So there might be fear. There might be past experiences. There might be past experiences where we've been hurt, and we need to acknowledge that. I know that's been part of my journey, and growing in this area is acknowledging my own wounds that I've carried around through past experiences in communities that talk this way. So what do we mean by that? What I want to do this morning is explore a biblical foundation so that we have a clear understanding of what we mean when we talk about spirit empowerment. And then I want to explore with you along the way some practical implications for our lives and for our church. So to do that, I want to start with a question. It's a vital question, I believe, if we're going to have a proper biblical framework for understanding what we mean when we talk about spirit empowerment and this desire to seek spirit empowerment and to grow in this area in our lives, in our ministry. And it's the question of where are we in God's story? It's only in the context, I would argue, of the biblical story that we can properly understand what in the world it means to talk about spirit empowerment in our lives and in our church. And so this is the question we want to explore this morning. And I want to get at it this way. If you were an Old Testament follower of God, you would have been deeply rooted in the biblical story as it was revealed and spoken. And because of that rooting and grounding in the biblical story, you would have had a peculiar understanding of history. It's an understanding of history that the history of the world was really divided between two distinct periods of time. There was the present age in which you lived, and then there was the age to come, or the future age that you looked forward to. And as an Old Testament follower of God, you would have believed and looked forward to the day that God, through his Messiah, would bring a dramatic end to the present age. And that was very good news. That would be followed by the beginning of the future age. And the signal of that change would be the resurrection of the dead and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those two central events is what you look forward to. And you would know that the future age had begun because God's Spirit would be poured out on all his people, as the prophet spoke. You would also know it had begun because this present world of suffering, of evil, of death would finally come to an end. And you would long for that day, especially as you thought of your loved ones who have died. You would long for the day of resurrection, the end of death. You would also know that the end was here because God would have established fully his kingdom on earth, and everything under God's gracious reign would flourish and be put back to rights again, the whole of life. The knowledge of God, love, joy, justice would fill the earth and cover it as the waters cover the sea. Sin, death, evil would be no more. And we could picture it this way. It's a diagram I know I've used before, but two distinct ages, the present, the future, and it would be the Spirit and the Messiah who would bring the end to the present and the beginning of the future. But what you couldn't imagine is you couldn't imagine that there would be a time between the end of the present age and the coming of the future age. These was going to be a distinct ending and a distinct beginning. You couldn't imagine that there would open up in history this time between. But as a New Testament follower, what you began to understand as you listened to Jesus teach and you watched what he was doing and began to make sense of the implications of his death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost, you began to understand that in fact that is exactly what God has done. God has opened up a space. A time between the times. That is where we find ourselves today. God has sent his Messiah, King Jesus, to usher in the kingdom of God. We looked at that last week. And the death and resurrection of Jesus signals that the future age has begun. And then at Pentecost, God, fulfilling Old Testament promises, poured out his Spirit on all his people, making real God's presence. enabling us to share in the reality of his future kingdom. The future age is here. And yet, the present age remains. Sin, suffering, death remain with us. And so it's a peculiar time that we live, this time between the times. The Spirit's been poured out. The Spirit is at work renewing creation, bringing the life of the future age to bear into the present. The future is here. The present remains. And it's this tension of living between the times that we find ourselves living today. That second arrow is what the day we long for, when King Jesus returns and this present age finally comes to an end and the future age is here in all its fullness, all its glory. All the dead are raised to life. Heaven and earth are one, and life will flourish under the loving and gracious reign of our God. Now, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? Everything. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is essential. It's vital to this time between the times in which we live. In fact, some would even call this the age of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of this when, as a resurrected, he promised the Holy Spirit to empower us for our witness. When he spoke these words in Acts 1, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." You see, friends, it is the Spirit of God who brings the healing and the life of the future kingdom of God into the present. It's the Holy Spirit who changes lives. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to carry out the mission and the purpose for which God has put us here. It's the Holy Spirit that continues the work that Christ has begun until Christ returns. The Holy Spirit is essential, is vital to the place in God's story that we live. N.T. Wright puts it well when he writes these words. "The Creator God has promised to renew his whole creation. The resurrection of Jesus is the start of that, and the outpoured Spirit is the means by which it will happen." How is the Creator God going to renew the whole of his creation? Did you catch that? It's the outpoured Spirit is the means by which it will happen. So in the present, that's us, those who invoke the Spirit are entrusted with bringing about real and true signs of new creation in the present time. We live in between the times, between the launching of new creation and its ultimate fulfillment. This is the time for mission. For the work of God through the Spirit-filled life and witness of the church to bring God's healing and hope to the nations. Let me say that again. Where are we in God's story, friends? Right here. This is the time for mission. For the work of God through the Spirit-filled life and witness of the church to bring God's healing and hope to the nations. That's the biblical framework for understanding what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We cannot, let me just be very clear, we cannot do the work that God has called us to do without being empowered by his Spirit. The only way we will grow in grace, the only way we'll see transformation in our lives, the only way we'll be empowered to carry out our mission is through the empowering presence of God in his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means that God has provided for us to carry out the work and the calling that he's put on our lives. And what I said is true, but something else is also true. We can do things in our strength. God gives us the freedom to do that. Not all of us are followers of Jesus in this world. And lots of good things happen by people who aren't followers of Jesus. God doesn't force himself on us. You can love someone in the best way that you know how to. You can anticipate their needs. You can be on the lookout for ways to serve them and words to encourage them and acts of kindness to bless them. You can be the best neighbor or best friend that anyone has ever had and never think once about the Holy Spirit. You can be busy and the work that God has called you to, and the place that God has put you, whether that place is the classroom, the field, the office, the home, on the road. Wherever God has put you to be busy with the work he's given you, you can probably do the task before you most days on the physical and emotional strength that you have and never once think of the Holy Spirit. You can even speak of God's love. You can testify of the work that God's done in your life. You can bear witness to Jesus without ever thinking about the Holy Spirit. And here's something else that's true. God does and often has do his work in spite of us, using our weak and feeble efforts to do his work through us. God overrides our foolishness, and that's a good thing. God often uses our broken and half-hearted attempts to serve him, and in spite of us, he still blesses others. His kingdom still advances. God is gracious. God doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. But you could also walk to Whistler. You could swim to Nanaimo. Why would you do that? You could also catch a ferry or a car ride to Whistler. Car ride to Nanaimo is not going to work so well. But you see, why would we not seek the empowerment that God has given us, the gift that God has promised? Why would we not seek to be clothed with the power that the risen Jesus spoke of when he told his disciples these words, and these are his final words in the Gospel of Luke: "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Why would we not seek to be clothed with power from on high? Why would we not seek the Spirit-filled life that Jesus promised that's essential to bringing God's healing and hope to the world? Why would we settle for doing life, for doing ministry in our strength, when God gives us the gift of his strength, his power, his Spirit working in us and through us? And I think that question is what really started to unnerve the ministry board as we leaned into what it looks like to be Spirit-empowered. Why would we choose another path besides seeking to intentionally cooperate with the Holy Spirit and be Spirit empowered? This is the gift God has promised. Why would we not long for Jesus' own prayer to be answered in our church, in our lives? Remember Jesus when he prayed this: I tell you the truth. It's hard to fathom this, but this is what he says: it's to your advantage that I go away. What? Wouldn't it be better, Jesus, if you stayed? That's not what he says. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, it's better I go away. Because as a human, flesh and blood, God and flesh, I can be in one place at one time. If I go, I'll send my Spirit. And my Spirit can be in many places at many times and fill everyone who follows me. And he goes on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And even the things he did say, John will go on to say, if all the things Jesus spoke were written down, they'd fill the books. So many more books. But Jesus says, there's even more I haven't spoken. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Why would we not want to grow in hearing the things that Jesus wants to say to us, that we can hear as we grow in listening to the Holy Spirit? Why would we not long to experience a power that's beyond us, filling us, overflowing into the world? And here's something I've been learning about this dynamic: is on my own strength, I can go only so far. And it's not, I don't think, because I'm approaching the later part of my 40s, although that probably is some factor, but I just can't go as hard as I could in my 20s. But notwithstanding that reality, I can only go so far. And the more I've leaned into this, the more I've tried to grow and understand this, the more I've realized, quite honestly, just how many my limitations are. How difficult it is to love people well in my own strength. God's been reminding me of that lately. Some interesting ways. How quickly I come up short. How hard it is to keep extending grace, forgiveness, love. How much left to myself. I don't want to love the city. I want to take from this city. I want to love it back. How hard it is to love my neighbors. Time and time again, God just keeps bringing me up short. And you know what? I'm thankful. Because it's time and time again as I come up short that God's reminding me. But in my strength, you can continue. In my strength, you can continue. You see, there is a strength, a power outside of us that God promises to give us as the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power. Why would we not seek that out? So how does the Holy Spirit do this? How does the Holy Spirit work to empower us, to equip us? And here I know, I alluded to this already, this is where I feel the pressures of and the limitations of time, quite frankly. There's a lot that could be said here, and I want to give an overview this morning. And I want to do this by summarizing what I understand from Scripture and the teaching that we've been exposed to, the four primary ways in which the Spirit of God does these things to empower us. And the first one is this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings us into a living, vital relationship with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How does Jesus Christ, who is a documented figure of history, who lived and died and taught lots of good things and said some good things and said some outrageous things, but a real historical figure, how does Jesus move from being a person of history to a lived reality in someone's life? How do any of us enter into a living, growing relationship with Jesus that we could say, he's my personal Lord and Savior, and I have a growing relationship with him? How does that happen? The only way it happens is through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the way that we're connected to Jesus, that we enter into relationship with Jesus. In the words of John Calvin, the Holy Spirit is the bond by which Christ effectually unites us to himself. That's a lot of words. What's Calvin saying? He's saying the Holy Spirit is the glue, the bond. He unites us to Jesus. So all the benefits and blessings of what Jesus has won for us on the cross, they become ours. We experience them as true only through the ministry and working of the Holy Spirit. So if you are feeling like the truths of Christianity have become abstracted and vague and things that just kind of, yeah, you know they're true, but they don't connect. You don't experience them. For example, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is in uniting us to Jesus is it's the way in which we are declared to be righteous before God. The term that gets used for that is justification. And justification can get abstracted in our lives. It's just a theological truth, and yeah, it's how I'm declared righteous, I get it. But how does that truth become a living, vital reality in your life? I've shared a little bit of my own journey of how that's happened in my life. See, part of I think a dynamic that we all struggle with is we're all trying in some way to establish some sense of worth or significance, that our life matters. And many of us, I know because you've spoken to me, my own vulnerability has resonated with you. Many of us try to do that in our own performance. So in my case, if I'm just a good pastor, then I'll know my life matters. I'll have worth. I'll have significance before God. If I fail as a pastor, it's not just that I had a bad day, but it strikes something more core for me. Because what I'm trying to do so often left to myself is be justified by my performance as a pastor, as if Almighty God, Holy God, would declare me to be righteous based on my performance. What a lie. Yet what a miserable trap I fall into. But you know what the Holy Spirit likes to do in my life and would like to do in all of our lives is to take that truth and make it a lived reality in my heart. So that I would wake up every day, that I would come into this office every week, and I would walk in confidence that I am righteous. Even when I fail miserably, it does not change. God declares me to be righteous because of Jesus and his performance, not mine. And see, the Holy Spirit makes that a lived reality. I live in light of that reality. It's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. Do you see the implications if you're feeling a bit stuck and your Christian walk has grown dry? Do you see the invitation to invite the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit loves to do? What Jesus prayed the Holy Spirit would do, would take what Jesus has done and make it real to you, speak it into your heart, into your life, empower you to walk in it so that it's true and alive and fresh and growing and vital. But there's another implication that's, again, when we take it into our life, it's so freeing. I think many of us look up against this word evangelism, and we think about whenever we probably even talk about mission and loving our neighbors, you think, yeah, it's probably implying that we should evangelize our neighbors. And that's often loaded with all this expectation and weight and burden. But let me say to you, there's no burden or weight in evangelism. You cannot save a single person. Your job is to love them and to bless them. And to speak of God's work in your life, only the Holy Spirit can change their heart. And when you take that in, it's so freeing. So freeing. Only the Holy Spirit can bring someone into an intimate, living relationship with Jesus. But here's another implication, and I alluded to this a little bit last week, but let me come back to it. I would love to see, and if this resonates with you, please talk to me. I'd love to see a team of committed intercessors rise up in this church. Men and women of any age, just committed to pray by name for the people in our ministries, by name for the people in our lives that I can think of right now as I'm speaking to you, the people in my case that live around me that don't know Jesus, that we would pray intentionally for the Spirit to do what only the Spirit can do, bring people into a living, vital relationship with Jesus. Because I've been part of communities who've done that kind of work, and I've seen God answer that prayer time and time again. I believe he could do it here. Right. Got carried away. It's okay. There's three more ways I want to talk about. The second one is the work of the Holy Spirit in transforming our lives more and more into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just bring us into a relationship with Jesus and leave us there. No, it's the Holy Spirit who does the hard work inside of us of transforming us, of making us grow in holiness, grow in Christian character. And it's a lifelong journey of being transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We never graduate that process. If you're here this morning and you're 20, or if you're 90, it doesn't matter. You're still in this lifelong journey which the Spirit of God is transforming you, making you more and more into the likeness and image of God's Son, Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit who's doing that work. the result is the growing fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Paul speaks of it in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a gift it would be and can be and often is when we speak out into another person's life, encouragement that we see the fruit of the Spirit in their life. It's the last time you encourage someone in your life. Maybe it's a friend, a spouse, someone in your family, and said, you know, I see the Spirit of God changing you, and it's a beautiful thing. You're more gentle. You're more kind. You have more self-control. God's really at work in you. What a gift of encouragement to give another person. On the other side of this, how many of us have people in our lives that we can go to and say, you know, I know the Spirit's alive in me. Man, I'm impatient. I want to grow in patience. I stink at self-control. Do we have friends in our lives that we can go to and that kind of honesty and say, would you pray that the Spirit would continue to transform my character? That I would grow in self-control and patience and gentleness and kindness and love? It's only the Spirit. You know, here's the sobering, humbling reality of the Christian life. You've heard me say this before. We cannot change ourselves. And I know this is bad news to the self-help industry. But it's the truth. We cannot change ourselves. It's only the Holy Spirit at work in us that can truly change and transform us into the likeness of Christ. The third work of the Spirit I want to talk about is it's the Holy Spirit that builds up the fellowship and community of all who believe in Jesus. It's the Spirit who weaves us together in Christian community. It's the Spirit who grows our love for one another. It's the Spirit who creates this bond of unity, of Christian love that brings people together and once makes them want to hang out and spend time together and do life together. Would you look around a minute? You know, it's easier for me to do, of course, because I'm just looking at all of you. We're such an odd bunch of people. How else can you explain that this group of people would be together and love each other and look out for each other and pray for each other and want to spend time together? There's really only one explanation. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in creating Christian community, fellowship, love. And we need the Holy Spirit to continue to change us in this way, that we would keep loving each other. And can we just admit publicly, we don't always get it right. So we need the Holy Spirit to keep forgiving each other, to keep overlooking our offenses, to turn our hearts towards each other. Because here's the thing, left to ourselves, our hearts are just so bent inward. Could you be honest this morning that that's you? That we, left to ourselves, we are such self-focused people. And the Holy Spirit likes to pry open our hearts and turn them back out in love towards one another. Only the Holy Spirit can explain why Maple Ridge CRC has been in community this long. My goodness. You know, one of the unique things I experience, because I'm a pastor and I bounce around in my lifetime, is I don't have to do life with people for 40 years, except for my family. Does that make sense? You guys have, many of you have. And the love and the fondness has only grown richer and greater. And I see it and I'm blessed by it. Only the Holy Spirit can explain that. Only the Holy Spirit can grow that. Only the Holy Spirit can extend that. So when God brings new people into these doors, we feel love towards them and want to connect with them, want to invite them into this rich fabric of Christian community, this rare gift that we have. Finally, the fourth work of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit loves to give us gifts and tools to advance God's kingdom. One of the primary ways he does this is releasing spiritual gifts into our lives and into the church. The Holy Spirit continues to release gifts. spiritual gifts that we could think of in one sense as tools that allow us to work in God's kingdom and advance that kingdom. And this is the point on which I feel the greatest constraint of time, because there's a lot I could say here that I'm not going to have opportunity to, but here's what I want to say. Spiritual gifts are gifts. They're not supernatural abilities that we own or possess. They're gifts that God gives us. They belong to Him. God is sovereign over the gifts He gives. But God gives these gifts to His church in order to advance His kingdom in the world. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, where he writes this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then Paul will go on in this passage, which is one of three passages in the New Testament in Paul's writings, where he gives different lists of these spiritual gifts. And in this text, he'll go on to talk about, to one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And then he goes on later in the passage to speak of more gifts. The Spirit gives the gift of apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those with gifts of healing, those with gifts of helps, gifts of administration, those who speak in tongues. And right now, some of you are saying, what is going on? Can we just acknowledge that we don't have a full grasp or understanding of the diversity of gifts that the Spirit wants to give our church? You see, each of these gifts in their unique way are ways that the Holy Spirit expresses His power and His presence through God's people. They are all tools that we need in order to cooperate with God in advancing the kingdom of God in the world. All the gifts of the Spirit are helpful. All the gifts of the Spirit are important for building up the church. And it's through this rich diversity of gifts, of manifestations, and ministries that the Holy Spirit gives the church that the church grows in its empowerment with the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's mission impossible. And so one of the things that we want to lean into in the future years to come is we want to explore together the diversity of these gifts. And we want to welcome the manifestations and the gifts of the Spirit, all of them, that He wants to give His church. Can I just point out that I think we've been blessed on a couple occasions. I'm not keeping track, but those gifts have been manifest on Sunday morning. Randy and I are trying to be intentional and creating space when we gather publicly to worship, to respond to any way the Spirit might want to move. There's a team each Sunday that's discerning prayerfully. Maybe God has a word. I believe it was a few Sundays ago, Randy didn't plan it, but as he was leading and felt the Spirit's nudge, the Spirit just gave him a word: surrender. Some of you were here that Sunday. What happened in that moment? I wasn't here, but as I understand it, as it was spoken to me, it was an invitation from God. God wanted greater intimacy. God wanted us to lay down the awful burdens that we carry into this place, to surrender everything before Him. If we learn to grow in surrender, giving it all to Jesus, do you see how the kingdom of God will advance as we do that as a people? We break one of the rules, I think, unspoken rules I've encountered in this community is when you don't have your stuff together, you don't come. Can we break that rule? The Spirit wants to break that rule. When you don't have your stuff together, run to the church. Run to a Christian community. Don't run away from it. Surrender. Be vulnerable. This is the places that God wants to lead us. It's the ways in which God wants to advance His kingdom. And I'm so thankful to see that the Spirit is beginning to do that work. And what we're saying as leaders is we want to welcome more of the Spirit. And so I want to end where we began. We're laying the pitchforks down. We're saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are most welcome here. Come, Spirit, come. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And while we have looked at so many elements and aspects of your word this morning, different scriptures, God, you speak. You speak about your Spirit. You speak about the time in which we live and this great commission you've given us to bear witness to the coming reality of your kingdom as we wait for King Jesus to return. And God, you didn't leave us alone in that. You promised to clothe us with power from on high. So God, we ask that you would do that very thing among us. We are sorry for ways in which we have intentionally or unintentionally left the impression that you're not welcome. God, we repent and turn from that and say, Spirit, you're welcome here. Come. We need you to empower us. We need you to grow us in a vital relationship with Jesus. It's growing. We need you to come so that our friends and neighbors who don't know you would also enter into relationship with Jesus. We can't do that work, God. Only you can by your Spirit. So we're asking you to come and change people's lives. We're asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and do what we can't do. Transform us from the inside out, that more of the fruit of your Spirit changing us would be evident in the way in which we engage in community here. We're asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and do what we can't do. Continue to keep us connected, growing in love and forgiveness and grace towards one another, opening our arms, our homes, to new people you bring, that your fellowship, your community of love would grow and extend. We're asking you to come, Holy Spirit. Manifest your presence. Give us the gifts we need to do the work you've called us to. Come. Spirit, come. Lead the way as we seek to grow in Spirit empowerment. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.